It's a tale as old as time. He's handsome, debonair. She's pretty and sweet. They lock eyes across the room.
Okay, hold on. Honey, you need to get your facts straight. Finding love today is more like...
Are we supposed to get married?
I'm going
to
just swipe
up. I just want somebody to share my life.
What does his text mean?
Maybe he's just not that into me.
Or even...
Because I don't like to date, I pick one and I make him mine. Kind of like caveman. I hit him over the head and I drag him home.
You can keep waiting for the fairy tale, or you can get on board with the new rules of relationships. If you've read my advice in the LA Times, then you know this ain't your mama's love advice. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman. Hello, lovers. It's your certified dating coach, Damona Hoffman, and I am welcoming you to season 8 of the Dates and Mates podcast. Woohoo! Wow, modern love has changed quite a bit since the start of this podcast. Actually, since the start of this year. But when this podcast first launched, let's see, the founder of Bumble was still working at Tinder. Love Island was still lost at sea, and Brad and Angelina hadn't even gotten married yet, let alone divorced. So times have changed, but I have been here with you throughout all of it and keeping you up to date on the latest news, trends, apps, cultural shifts, and advice on love in the modern world. This season will feature top voices on dating and relationships, as always, but we will also have even more celebrity guests sharing their own personal love stories. Speaking of which, today I'm giving you an exclusive peek inside my coaching program, and one of my celebrity clients has agreed to show you what the start of her coaching journey looks like. She's a cast member of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She's an actress, reality star, and fashion model. She's the one and only Garcelle Beauvais. But before we get all up in Garcelle's business, we have to talk about this week's headlines. We'll discuss the best opening lines to get your dating app messages popping, and how Kim loves Kanye in sickness and in health, plus the new rules of long-distance relationships. Then, as always, at the end of the show, I will answer your questions, including, can you date a cheapskate? And how can you find love when you're 50 and fabulous? Back by popular demand, it's time to dish.
D's Dating Dish.
Our friends at Bustle hooked you up with some opening line suggestions. So many times people write to me and say, I don't know what to say on these apps. How do I message in a flirtatious way? How can I get him interested? We swiped right, we matched, and then... things just died out. Well, my friends, Bustle is telling you all the best lines to get your banter going. There were some that I loved and some that I thought maybe you should think twice about using. My favorite ones were, what's your theme song? Mm-hmm. That's a thinker, right? But it tells you a lot about the person. There's another one I liked, always food. You can't go wrong in food. We've covered that before on the show and how many people actually mention food in their dating profiles. So if you say something like cheese, pepperoni, or Hawaiian, you will definitely get a reaction. I mean, I think there's a definitive line in the sand between Hawaiian and no Hawaiian people, right? And what are you binge watching right now? This is a great one for generating conversation, and especially in the situation many of us are in the pandemic, we are on lockdown and we are binge watching quite a lot of things. Now, there are a couple of them that I thought might be a little bit much for an opening line. Like, what's your idea of a perfect first date? I think this is a great, great conversation piece for further along in the conversation, but not right up front as an opening line. So be careful with that one. And the age old, why do you swipe right? How many of you have gotten this line? And you thought, well, I don't know. I had a couple glasses of wine and you look cute. So why do you swipe right? It doesn't give you a lot of information necessarily, other than like they're already attracted to you. We know that. They might not know why they swiped right. Don't put them on the spot. There was one that I wanted to share with you that I gave to a client this week who she says is working like gangbusters. It was mint chip or rocky road. Like I said, cannot go wrong with the food references. So give it a try. Let me know how some of those lines work. We'll put the link to the Bustle article in the show notes.
Now, while we're talking about making connections long distance, I got to hook you up with this new Cosmo article, 7 things you need to know about a long distance relationship, because we're finding a lot of us are in long distance relationship. You could be in a long distance relationship with someone who lives in your own city. A couple of these tips, one of them is mine. I'll let you guess which one, and then you can head over to the article and check it out. First one, don't knock it until you try it. If you've heard me say on the show before, it's really tricky. Don't think that I am saying don't do it. I'm just saying go in eyes wide open. Think through what it will mean to live together again or one day. So a lot of times we don't play it forward, and I'm always cautioning you, don't get too far ahead. But if you're in a long distance relationship, you have to know that there's at least the possibility that one day you'll be together. Your routine, you got to set the next time that you're going to see each other, and you go for quality, not quantity. Don't obsess over having constant contact. I just saw someone post today. Do you get mad when you see your partner is on social media if they haven't texted you good morning? I mean, are we really checking it like that? Are we really social media stalking them all the time? There's so many great tips. If you are engaging in a long distance relationship, you should check out this Cosmo article, because we need to get your relationships growing and deepening even throughout this pandemic. One couple whose relationship seems to be strong in spite of some big challenges is Kim and Kanye. It's been a minute since we've talked about Kim and Kanye on the show, but after his campaign rally for the birthday party, you might remember a couple weeks ago that Kanye is running for president, she had to just come out and say, look, y'all, he is mentally ill. He's done many interviews talking about the fact that he is bipolar. And I'm not going to give you a whole lesson on mental illness or what it means to be bipolar, but let's just say that all of this plays into the narrative that's going on in the Kim and Kanye household right now, and that's going on in Kanye's mind. And one thing I think we don't talk about enough is the fact that mental illness is a big factor in relationships. And many of us coming through this pandemic are dealing with depression, anxiety, insomnia. You know, maybe it's not as intense as what Kanye is going through, but everybody is coming to the table with their own stressors and with their own challenges, right? In the mental health space. So I actually think this is really good that Kim spoke on this, and she wanted everyone to give them their space to be able to process this. And you may find that you're in a relationship with someone who has already been dealing with mental illness, or sometimes a trauma or a triggering event, or I don't know, maybe a pandemic might happen and new mental health challenges arise. And if your relationship is strong, then the two of you can work through anything together. And if your partner wants to run for the birthday party, then, you know, you got to back them up and help them get the resources they need to move through it. Those are the headlines for today. Speaking of mental health, I have something very important to share with you before we get to Garcelle. We are back with the very first interview segment of the season. At the top of the show, I mentioned that I'm giving you a special sneak peek into my coaching program with a very special celebrity client. You know Garcelle Beauvais from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and she also just launched a podcast called Going to Bed with Garcelle. So if you haven't been following what's happening on Real Housewives or her podcast, let me get you up to speed. Garcelle is ready to get back out there after a breakup and a high-profile divorce. She is a talented, high-powered career gal with a lovely family, and we're going to help her set the tone for her new dating journey today. So without further ado, please give big smooches to my girl, Garcelle Beauvais.
Hello!
Garcelle, I'm so glad that you're here joining me for this experience. You're a brave lady.
Oh boy, I'm holding on.
But you've always been brave. You've always been bold. And you know, we got to talk during your podcast, Going to Bed with Garcelle, and I'm curious, what made you start that podcast? And then What made you interested in dating coaching and asking some of these kind of questions right now?
You know, for me, I'll start off with going to bed with Garcelle. That's been a thing that once a month when I don't have my kids on a Sunday, I would have friends over and we'd drink, we'd gossip, we'd talk, and eventually conversations always came up about sex. So it was always a good time. And at the end of all these things, basically when I'm saying goodbye to everybody, people would say, why aren't you doing this? This is a show. Why aren't you doing this? So my producing partner and I were like, okay, then let's do it. And it's been so much fun. We've had amazing guests, you included. And it's been really great to get women together to talk about sex and talk about their lives and talk about, you know, what we're doing moving forward in terms of COVID, no COVID, quarantine, no quarantine. So here we are.
And you go there on the show. You do not hold anything back.
No, we do not.
And I know that takes a lot of bravery, but it also takes a lot of bravery, Garcelle, to be a cast member of The Real Housewives of Beverly
Amen.
Hills and to have those cameras in going through all the experiences that you went through. And I know you've had some ups and downs.
Like everybody else.
Relationships.
Yeah, like everybody else. You know, I think I'm a romantic at heart. I love love. And for some reason, the love that I have chosen in the past haven't been lasting love. You know, I'd like to find my soulmate and, you know, go off into the sunset with him.
Wait, hold on.
What?
Hold on. We have to give you some credit.
Why?
We have to give you some credit because even though you haven't found someone that you're with for your entire life, you've had successful relationships. You've been in relationships that have lasted
a long time. That's true. Okay. Thank you for making me take a moment and take that in. You're absolutely right. I mean, obviously my children, all three of my boys came from loving relationships. So that's an amazing thing. But in terms of, you know, I want to find my soulmate. I'm the type of girl that if I go shopping, if I go, do I want that dress? I don't know. It's not for me. I know when I see something and I want it, and that's for me. And that's what I want to find. Because I feel like in my relationships in the past, it's been like, he's a nice guy. He's good on paper and he'll be fun.
But it hasn't been
like, that's my man. And that's what I want to find.
So right now, it's a weird time, you know, coming out of the coronavirus haze. So right now, would you say your status is single and ready to mingle?
So
single. Thinking about mingle?
So single.
All right. So let's pretend like if we were beginning a coaching process together. I know we talked about this on your show, but I'll just run everybody through. There's 5 steps in my dating funnel. And if you're not where you want to be in love, one of those elements of the funnel is broken. We just patch it up. Then we just flow some love through it and keep on moving. So the five funnel steps are mindset, sourcing, screening, presentation, and flirting, and then follow through. Okay, so we're going to start with mindset, Garcelle. You ready?
I think I'm ready.
You said you're very clear. You know when you want something, you know what
you
want.
When it's for me, I know what I want. I don't waver. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so let's take a look at what relationship patterns you've had in the past, and then I'd like to take you on a little journey to get crystal clear on who that person is that you would like to meet in the future.
Oh my God, girl, how much time are we going to spend on this?
we got a few minutes. This is just the tip of the iceberg, and this is the mindset piece that we'll get into today. Like, maybe we'll have you come back and go into some of the other elements. But looking at your past relationships, is there any common denominator that you can realize between your marriages, or I know you had another significant relationship that ended fairly recently. Is there any commonality that you see between them?
2 things. I think, not that I force things, but I tend to go, okay, let me just go along with this. So I'm sort of going in, half out. And I think the second thing is that maybe because I love, I may jump too quickly.
Would you say then that you moved into those relationships, like it went from courtship into commitment very quickly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not a big dater. Okay. Or I haven't been in the past. I'm like, you know.
Talk to me about that.
Because I feel like it's always like, oh, then I got to start all over again with what I like and what I don't like. And this is me. And sort of like always getting to re-know someone. So I think the guys that have been in my life, I feel like because I don't like to date, I pick one and I make them mine. Kind of like caveman. I hit him over the head and I drag him home.
How you got to do it in modern times.
Yeah. Exactly. So I feel like I pick guys that I'm like, oh, he's nice and nice is not enough. Or he's safe. And then I realize maybe that wasn't the safe guy for me.
Well, and I know you've shared on Real Housewives that you dealt with infidelity in the past too in your marriage. And I know that's a really tough thing to return to a relationship where you can trust after that. What has been your divorce happened how many years ago?
My boys are 12. They were three. So
it's been a minute. So how are you feeling now in terms of your ability to trust again? And
I feel like I'm a trusting person. And one of the reasons why I didn't want to sort of fix my marriage, if you will, was I felt like it would change the dynamic of who I am. I would become the person who checks your phone. Where have you been? Where are you? And I didn't want to become that person because that's not who I am. And then obviously it was a bigger thing in my marriage, but I feel like I can trust. That's not the issue. I feel like I can trust. I think I give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
Not a lot of people can do that.
I'm sure.
What do you think? Do you think that's something in just the way you were raised or just your worldview or some process that you went through to be able to trust?
I think it's just like my worldview, honestly. I just feel like everybody, I always tell my kids, like at the beginning of a school year, they'll say, oh, mom, this teacher we're getting, I heard is really mean or really strict. And I always say, that's somebody else's experience. Like, I want you to go in, that's not your experience. You go in and you figure out what your experience is with this teacher. And I think that's what I tend to do. I tend to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Do I have a little jealousy bone? Yes. But not trusting.
I think everybody has that to some extent. Yeah. Except for, I don't know, we did an episode last season with a dating coach who's polyamorous. So maybe like that's a whole different conversation. Show. But that's not the relationship that you want. So talk to me then about the relationship that you envision for yourself, keeping in mind all of your past experiences and then what you see. When you like close your eyes, Garcelle, and you visualize what your life will look like when you are with that soulmate that you said is coming into your life. Who is he?
He excites me. He walks into a room and I smile from the inside out because I know that's my man. And that doesn't mean that he's perfect, but he's just my man. He is fun, full of life, kind. He is tall, slender. I'm giving it all to you. He supports me and lets me be who I am and loves my children. They don't need a dad. Their dad's in their life. So it's not about that. I want somebody I can lean on emotionally, financially sometimes. I mean, you know, I want someone who's doing better than me in that way. Who loves to dance, who loves to travel, who wants to give back to the world. A guy who I can talk to all hours of the night and we can laugh, we can have the same life goals and grow together. That's what I want.
Beautiful. I saw you. For those that are just listening to the podcast that couldn't see the video, you just were in it and you were really getting into the feeling, which is something that I'm always telling my clients and my listeners to do. Like, what does it feel like to be with that person? Not just like, what qualities do they have? How tall are they? And how slender are they?
Hey, I was giving you the picture, girl.
Well, you're pretty tall yourself, right? Yes, and you've been a model, and you need a guy of a certain caliber, but at the same time, you need him to make you feel good and still support you and your dreams and your goals and your visions. And I think a lot of times people miss that part.
And I want to be the girl. And when I say I want to be the girl, because I have such a strong personality, and this is something that I'm trying to switch up with my next relationship when that comes, is that not lead with what I do, not lead with what I've accomplished, you know? And I feel like sometimes I tend to have a male, a dude tendencies in that way. And I want a guy who's going to make me feel like a girl.
Now, Garcelle, is this because you truly want that and you truly feel that for yourself? That's the life that you want? Or is it out of like feeling like you've taken on a masculine role in past relationships and you don't want to feel that again? Or is it something where outside influences are telling you this is, you should try this instead?
No, this is what I would love. And I feel like because, you know, since the age of 17, I've been on my own building my career. So I know how to take care of myself. I know how to take care of my household and my children, being a single mom. I want someone that I can be a partner with. And I can feel like I don't have to be more dominant because you're my man. And I'm traditional in that sense. I would never take someone else's last name again. I say that because it was so hard to get my last name back after I got a divorce. But I like the traditional relationships in a way, to a certain extent.
Yeah. What elements of that? Because this was something that came up on the TV show I did, hashtag Black Love, where they, one of the cast members said, oh, I want a traditional man. But then he wanted her to be in the kitchen, cooking, barefoot and pregnant. And then she was like, no, wait. What I actually wanted was a chivalrous man.
Ah,
so we have to clarify.
Chivalrous man is what I'm looking for. A chivalrous man who will open the door, who will, you know, buy me gifts, and it doesn't have to be expensive gifts. It's the thought, but just making me feel like the girl, that I'm not the dude.
It's an important distinction, Garcelle. But I'm really glad that you brought this up, because I think for a lot of successful women and a lot of the ladies that listen to this podcast, maybe they can't relate to being a celebrity, but they can relate to feeling like they've worked really hard for what they have and they don't want somebody to come in and take what they have hustled to get. But there's also this feeling of you're leading in so many areas of your life, and especially as a single mom, right? You have so much on your plate that it'd be nice. I mean, even just to admit that it'd be nice to just have a partner who can take some of those responsibilities.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I mean, like somebody you can lean on or lean to.
All right. So now we know who this guy is. So the next step in the process, we go into sourcing. We go into, where would we find this person?
Girl, I have no idea.
Okay, yeah. Well, this is what I'm here for. So most of my clients and the listeners know that online dating is the best bang for your buck for most of my clients. But I know you're in a different situation, right? Because you're looking to find somebody who is as established in their career as you are, right? That isn't looking to you because they're like, well, I want to be with Garcelle. They're actually wanting to be in partnership.
Yeah.
And even on Raya, there's a lot of like see and be seen. We've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that leaves us with a couple of different options. There are still options for you, girl. So don't worry.
Thank you, God.
Four areas where most of my clients meet someone is either through matchmaking. And just to clarify for those that don't know, and for you, I am a dating coach. I want to be your own. I want you to be your own best matchmaker and to give you the tools to do this for yourself. I do collaborate with a number of matchmakers, and I think it's a great tool, but we can talk about the pros and cons of it in a minute. The other way to meet is at social gatherings. And as we are moving out of Corona time, it's a little bit of a trickier place.
Mm-hmm.
There's chance meetings, same thing for Corona time. And then there's meeting through friends. So of those four, matchmaking, social gatherings, chance meetings, meeting through friends, which one would you want to tackle first?
Chance meetings and meeting through friends, because those seem to me like that's more my lane.
Okay. So when you go out into the world, Garcelle, and let's say, you know, you're just doing you. You're just living your life.
Yep.
How do you feel like you present? Are you keeping your eyes open? Are you engaging with people, with strangers that you don't know?
Or it's funny, I've had my friends in the past go, you move too fast. You don't give people time. You move too fast.
Tell me what that means.
That means that, you know, we could be somewhere, let's say we were at a party prior to, you know, all of this. And I would just walk through the party really fast. And a gay friend of mine who I was with, and he goes, you move too fast. You don't let, you know, it's sort of like you're not taking the time to look and you're not giving them the time to see. And I thought that was really interesting for him to say. And I was like, wow, okay. So I don't know how I move through the world. I'm just me. I don't know.
Wait, I'm going to, we're not going to breeze through this. We're not going to move so fast through this. What is going through your mind? Like when you are, when you're showing up at a party or like, like you were saying, moving through the world and moving through fast, is it, are you sort of thin slicing and looking at, well, there's nothing for me here, or this isn't the kind of environment, or are you just completely unaware that that's how people perceived?
I think I'm unaware. I'm going to say that one. I think I'm unaware. I think I'm not taking the time to assess, you know, the room or who's there. I mean, I might see somebody who's good looking, but obviously if they have a ring on or they're with someone, then I won't. Obviously, I'll keep it moving.
Yes. Yeah. So you look for that.
Yeah. I'll see
so
if then someone
you are,
has a ring.
Then you are kind of assessing the room a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because if you are... if you're looking around for things like rings, then you are looking with eyes that are looking for attraction.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So I don't know if I agree with your friend. I mean, we'll have to go out and hang and I'll see.
I
do this with clients where I'll observe because a lot of times we don't
how
know.
They are.
We don't know. Like, you know, we show up with, not you, cause you're always smiling, but you know, sometimes people will show up with resting bitch face, you know, and not have any idea that when you feel uncomfortable yourself, sometimes you'll put a mask on of trying to suss it out.
Yeah.
And that can be read from others as unapproachable or like you're not having a good time. So what I have my clients do is just resting smile face because it feels dumb to walk into a room and you're just like smiling, happy to be there.
Yeah.
But it always looks like you are the life of the party. And it looks like you're someone that's approachable and that they would want to talk to if you're always smiling. But that's
a
hard
adjustment.
Well, I'm
always smiling. Right.
It's a hard adjustment for a lot of people. So, so not for you.
Now, what about intimidation? I was talking to a friend of mine and she was like, well, do you think guys are intimidated? But I have to believe that my guy won't be intimidated.
You do have to
by my success,
that.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is something that it comes up a lot. It's hard for many people to hear that rejection's your protection. So if somebody is not enough for you, Garcelle, if someone rejects you or is intimidated by you because you're too much, then that person was not enough for you or didn't feel the confidence in themselves. Mm-hmm. The right person. And interestingly, it might come in a slightly different package than you expect, but the right person will show up for you and will not be intimidated by all that you have, will only want to add to it. I mean, of course, you're a gorgeous woman and you're very successful. So for any man to approach you, there's some level of courage or confidence that he would have to have.
Yeah.
But the right ones will be able to push through that and would still approach you or engage with you. I mean, also for successful women, a lot of times I have to remind them that they are in the driver's seat in terms of cueing an approach. Like a guy needs to know that he's not going to be blown off, not going to make a fool of himself if he goes up and talks to you.
Right.
And the way that you can signal that without necessarily even having to approach him is just by like making extra eye contact, smiling, or potentially finding a reason to engage in a casual conversation with him without any goals of where it's going to go, but just casual conversations. And I talk about creating openings. Just create an opening for our magic to happen.
Love
How's that,
that
sound for you?
That sounds beautiful.
Okay, so once we are able to move out into the world, that's where we'll start with that. And then when we talk about meeting through friends, how many blind dates have you been set up on before?
Oh, maybe two in my life.
How good were they?
I'm single.
Right. Right. A lot of times we'll get setups from our friends and they are projecting. they are putting on you what they think you need. So they set you up with someone who is someone they would be attracted to if they were single, or someone that they haven't had this conversation that you and I had about what's your vision, what are your goals. So if you could distill everything that we did a moment ago down into three must-have qualities and one deal breaker. I only give you one deal breaker, but three must-haves and one deal breaker that then you could communicate to someone. And it doesn't seem like you're too shy about acknowledging that you're single and ready to mingle. Am I right on that?
No. Oh, you're absolutely right on that. Because how else am I going to fix it?
I'm so glad you said that, Garcelle. Is that something for that a lot of people have a hard time embracing? There's a shame around singlehood that if I say I'm single, if I acknowledge aloud to another person that I'm single and I'd like to meet someone, that I am weak or that I've failed. And that's not the case at all. It's just it hasn't been an alignment.
Well,
before.
I think society has done that to us, especially women. I have nieces who are grown women, and we'll have family reunions and people will be like, oh my God, how are you still single? Or why are you single? And I feel like that's what society says, that if you're single, it's almost like you're no longer good. Or, you know, growing up, you were an old maid if you weren't married by 20, you know. Things like that, I think, is what people set us up for. And then we take that on as if it's true.
Yeah, it's a lot of old-fashioned ideals. And that's what's exciting to me about this time, is that we're getting to rewrite a lot of the rules and we're getting to examine a lot of our preconceived ideas about even, you know, gender identity and gender dynamics in a relationship and even race and culture and religion and all these things that we were told were the most important things.
Right.
And in today's world, the culture is in constant flux.
Yeah.
And we have to be, I think, to give yourself the best chance at love, we have to be open to the fluidity of that and open to evolving. So I'm glad to hear that you are, but you know, society might not be ready, but society ain't your matchmaker. So have to be willing to share that with the people close to you. And also, one thing that I do with my clients is I have them make a connector circle, which goes beyond that first layer. Because a lot of times we'll ask those people that are closest to us, because that's the least vulnerable thing to do, to say to our girlfriends, some of those people that came over on Sunday, maybe, will say, hey, do you know anybody who's single? But we don't give them any specifics on who that person should be. And we don't go beyond just that immediate circle. And if your girlfriends knew the person, you probably would have met it already.
Good point.
So we want to go one degree beyond that and look at friends of friends. So it's like you create a little bit, create like a phone tree, like those old-fashioned phone trees, and figure out who might know the kind of person that would have all of those qualities.
Interesting. Yeah.
So it's a little homework assignment for you.
Okay.
And then once you have those three qualities, you can find a way to communicate with that person directly and say, by the way, I'm single. And if you happen to know anybody who's this, this, and this, I would love to meet him.
Okay.
And then that way you're sort of training their brain to be a matchmaker for you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because all the time we just say, do you know anybody who's single? And they're like going through their mental database, like, well, I don't know. Like, now you've given me a job.
Right.
So, okay. Connector circle and your ideal mate, three qualities. And then also, when we're talking about meeting out in the world, I want to make sure that you're in the space with like-minded people. So based on the qualities that you told me, give me one or two places where you think that man might go. Like, let's assume coronavirus is completely over. Where would you meet a man like that?
The first thing that came to my mind, if I'm going to do it that way, it would be, I would say golf.
Golf. I love that. I love it. Yes.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. Do I know how to play? No. But yeah, I think that.
I love that. And I don't know that I've ever had a client say golf, but you're absolutely right. And I'll tell you, like, hot tip. When I used to golf, which is a while ago.
You did? Oh my God, that's what we can do together.
You want to go golfing? I'm terrible. I am terrible now. But we could improve together. But what I'll tell you is that sometimes being terrible is not a bad thing, because you can go to the driving range and there are a lot of guys there who would be willing to help you with your swing, whether you ask them or sometimes not. Right? But just being there and looking like you're open to having someone help you guide you, that could be a really great place.
Awesome. Do I have to
What's
give you
one other
one?
Place? Oh, yeah, God. Give me one more.
I don't want to say a party because I go to a lot of parties and I feel like that's not really it. I don't know. The market.
What, like just the grocery store? Like regular
market?
Yeah,
I mean, like where else? Where else?
It's funny. I got a hold of some stats from Match.com about meeting at the grocery store. I know that's a lot of people's fantasy.
Because that's where you go the most.
It is, especially now. But it turns out not a lot of couples actually meet there. Online dating and meeting through friends are the top ways that people meet. But I do not want to discount chance meetings. But maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Car dealership. Well,
car dealership is good too. I know that's a big topic of conversation on Real Housewives, but but no, I want to stay with the market for a second.
Okay.
Because the question is what kind of market? Because if you go to, let's say, you are really into a healthy lifestyle and you go to the farmer's market, there's a lot of communication points. And I talk about creating openings around something that you're curious about. So if you're at the farmer's market
like
and there's like a new vegetable that you haven't seen, you can just ask cute guy standing next to you, have you ever cooked with this? Like, what the heck is this thing? Right? And then you're in it. I know, like once you get in the conversation, Garcelle, it's going to flow. It's just a matter of making that chance encounter.
That's so hysterical.
You're going to meet a different kind of person at Air One, which is, for those that don't know, is sort of a high-end health food market, than you are at Ralph's, which is like, you know, everyday shopping center. Or food
good
for
point.
Less.
Good point. Damn Don't it, go to not food, food for less.
See, your man is not food for less. I knew that about you. I knew that.
That's hysterical.
No shade to food for less. But we get strategic, right? And we figure out, now we know the guy, we figure out where we can go find him. Girl, I could talk to you about this forever,
I already gave you
a lot of homework. So
you did.
You're going to come back and report back about how that's all working for you.
I love it. This is so much fun.
This was so much fun. And remember, Garcelle, also to give them a chance. Like your friend said, sometimes you can breeze through. Mm-hmm. I have a 3-date rule. So try to make a connection. Try to give it 3 dates if you can.
Okay.
To let him come out of his shell and really show his true colors. But if after the 3rd date it ain't happening, then
it ain't happening.
Kick him to the curb.
Okay. I love it.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I enjoyed it so much.
Me too. Y'all, you have to check out her podcast, Going to Bed with Garcelle, and get yourself caught up on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills on Bravo. Before we move on and get to answering your dating and relationship questions, I wanted to let you know how I can help you too. If you're feeling overwhelmed about dating and relationships and looking for more support, then you are the perfect person to become one of my friends with benefits on Patreon. What is Patreon, you may ask? Well, Patreon is a platform that allows you to support creators like me to keep making helpful content that you want to hear and allow you to get amazing listener benefits in the process. You can check out our page at patreon.com/datesandmates. You're probably wondering, what do you get if you sign up? Well, first you'll get access to my private Facebook group for all the friends with benefits, where you can chat with me and other listeners of the show in a safe and supportive space. Plus, you'll get access to my weekly Behind the Mic. This is a new feature where I will give you the insider take on the latest episode and even some additional content and tips that'll help support you on whatever topic we're talking about that week. And you'll also get behind the scenes content and some of our library episodes from some of the past 300 plus episodes of Dates and Mates. Just go to patreon.com/datesandmates and you can join for only $5. And then hopefully we can keep this show going for maybe another 8 seasons more. All right. When we come back, I will be answering your questions. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back. I am here and ready to answer all of your relationship questions. A little something different. Since I just launched the LA Times column, Dear Damona, we are doing a bit of a rebrand. You have known this segment for 7 seasons as Technically Dating, but now let me introduce to you our new Q&A segment.
Dear Damona.
Damona, help me.
This one comes to us from one of our FWBs, Lauren. Hey, girl. She says, I had a convo with a guy and it turns out he hates to go out and spend money. He came from a poor household and I have no issues with funds. How can I suggest that we'd be okay to go out without him feeling like he needs the finances to do so? Oh, this is a real issue in a lot of relationships. You know, couples tend to fight about money more than anything else. And the bottom line is that he needs to feel like he's contributing to the relationship in some way. So even if you have the finances, by you saying, well, I'll just pay for it, I'll just take you out, it might make him feel a little bit like he's not at your level. It might make him feel less than, and it might send the relationship in the wrong direction. You have to be a little bit more creative. If you want to be with him, but it's not an issue for you that he doesn't have the money, then try to be more creative and figure out some dates that you can do that don't cost anything. There are so many things, especially in the pandemic world. You can go for a hike. You can maybe do a sip and paint night at home and get supplies that you do together, play a game that you already have. There are so many ways that you can connect with someone without having to spend money. And actually, this is a good tip for everyone. I really encourage you to get creative with your dates right now. We can't do the same old dinner and a movie. So why not use this as an opportunity to connect on a deeper level? Last question for today comes from Instagram. This person says, I'm about to be 50. What dating advice do you have for the older crew? So this comes to us from a lady. And as you know, in society, there are a lot of people that try to make you feel like if you're 50 or 60 or whatever, you should just hang up the towel because dating is done. And that is just ridiculous. I have helped clients all the way up to their 80s find love again and find love online, many of them. So that's the great takeaway, is that because of dating apps, people who may not have had an opportunity to find love again, maybe if you've been divorced or widowed, or you've just been focusing on your career or other things and haven't had the time to date, you still have the ability to make a connection, even if you don't have the same single circles that you used to. So what I would say, first of all, is just to feel 50 and fabulous and know that it's just a number. And you will read some statistics that say men would not write back to you if you're older, or if you see that they're looking for someone in their, I don't know, 40s and you're 49, 50, that it's not worth it to even reach out or swipe right. Don't believe everything that you read. I say take a swing for it. And I've said this on the show before. If someone sees that you have an active lifestyle, that you seem flexible and you can roll with things and that you're attractive, that they're attracted to your pictures and your profile, they're going to write you back regardless of what that number says. So I say live your 50 fabulous life. Don't worry about what the number is, but be proactive. As I always say to women, be proactive, send outgoing messages, generate conversations, maybe pick up some of those opening lines that we gave you from the dating dish and put yourself out there, see what you can get in return. That's it for today's episode number 321 of Dates and Mates. Make sure you catch me later this season on Garcelle's new podcast, Going to Bed with Garcelle, where she talks all about sex and intimacy. It's a hot one, y'all. I think you'll like it, though. And as always, we will put the links from today's show in the show notes at datesandmates.com. While you're there, I also have free gifts. I have a free profile starter kit, which will get you online, refresh your profile, get you out there dating, whatever age, whatever photos you have, I'll hook you up. And that's all free at datesandmates.com. Or if you're already in a relationship starting something new, you want to keep things fresh, you can get the 7-day relationship boot camp. All of those tools are free for you at datesandmates.com. And then if you want to go a step deeper with me, please, I invite you, check out the Patreon Friends with Benefits program and support this show for just $5 a month at patreon.com/datesandmates. I would love to hear from you. You can connect with me on all the socials at Damona Hoffman. And don't forget to DM me about how you felt about today's episode and whatever questions are on your mind so I can answer them in a future show. I'll be back again next week with more modern love advice. Until then, I wish you happy dating.